Next on BYUSN, it's a game day in Kansas City as BYU gets ready to take on Kansas State in the first round of the Big 12 tournament. As a double-digit favorite, is a win good enough? ESPN's Sean Farnham joins us to preview the start of the tourney. What impact will BYU showing in Kansas City have on March Madness seeding? The Big 12 awards were released yesterday. A.J. DeBonta, not named Conference Player of the Year. Was he robbed? And assistant coach Brandon Dunson joins the show to discuss how the Cougars carry momentum from the Texas Tech win into the Big 12 tournament.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Tuesday, Tournament Tuesday. It is March 10th. I am Spencer Linton. You just heard from the man who is currently live in Kansas City, Jerem Jordan. How is KC, Jerem?
Hey, it's going great. Super warm here. I think you need to bring a hoodie tomorrow when you show up after BYU beats Kansas State, and or a jacket. The only bad thing about this moment is that noise you're hearing in the background, that's the Utah pep band.
Boo.
They're getting ready for their game. Why is BYU playing on the same day as Utah? Next time, let's beat West Virginia and or Cincinnati and UCF and show up tomorrow. But all good. Juice is good. Good energy outside here in Kansas City of the arena. I just came from the Brett Yormark press conference. This is a live drone. No, just kidding. That's awesome. Brett Yormark was talking about the SCORE Act and being at the round table with President Trump over the weekend. He really wants that for the limited liability, fewer lawsuits and whatnot. A lot of that kind of talk. TV rights up in 31. So in 30, they'll start shopping those. A lot of big picture conversation there. But I was struck by Brett Yormark's comments saying, I don't know who the number one pick in the NBA draft will be, but I know he plays for a Big 12 team. And certainly AJ or Darren, of course. But exciting stuff. BYU showed up here Sunday, Spence. They got a shoot-around in for about 50 minutes yesterday on the court. You'll hear my conversation coming up with Brandon Dunson about K-State and AJ not getting player of the year, and is that a motivating factor for him, and so on and so forth. But BYU doing some getting some breakfast, some stretching, a walkthrough in a conference room hotel later, and then they'll show up here about 4 p.m., and then 6 p.m., it is on BYU and Kansas State tonight.
We are off and running after that live report from Jerem in Kansas City. We have much to discuss about the game that is to be played, so rise and shout. Let's get into what's trending.
And sends BYU into postseason play. What a night here in Provo.
Okay, the bracket's set. They are the 10 seed playing K-State.
The matchups are good.
Proven we can play with any team in the Big 12.
It just gives us a lot of momentum. Just, you know, taking on them and, you know, get some more wins.
Tournament time. Let's go. BYU at the Big 12 tourney today as the 10 seed. They'll take on the number 15 seed Kansas State and do so as a rather heavy favorite later tonight. Pre-game coverage, by the way, begins at 6 Eastern on BYU Radio. The game tips at 7 Eastern on ESPN Plus, and you can listen on BYU Radio there as well. I mentioned significant favorite. BYU is currently a 10.5-point favorite to win this game. So with that in mind, Jerem, and given what BYU just did against Texas Tech on senior night, rallying for that epic win, would just beating Kansas State and getting a win be good enough?
I don't think so. Kansas State is severely down, Spence. Only 3 league wins, although they beat West Virginia, a team BYU did not. Last week on Tuesday, no Jerome Tang, who was let go earlier in the year. No Abdi Bashir Jr., who gave BYU some trouble with 16 points on January 3rd when they met the only meeting in the regular season. K-State competed with BYU. The Cougars ran away. But BYU defensively did a nice job, and K-State missed some shots. 3 of 21 from 3. A lot of paint points for K-State. That's how they stayed in it, kind of like BYU against Texas Tech. I don't think so. I think we need to see BYU carry some momentum in and not just beat a bad K-State team. They need to win and win convincingly. I need to see a cover from BYU to feel like, okay, when they play West Virginia, it could be different, even though, yeah, it's not in Morgantown. I'd like to see a win of significance so BYU can get some rest, get the backups in, and be ready for West Virginia tomorrow night.
Listen, I would love every bit of the scenario you just painted. There's only one issue in my mind. It's March, and weird stuff happens in March. And so I am inclined to fall back on the, okay, just get a win. Just survive and advance. Give yourself an opportunity to get to West Virginia. I know this Kansas State team is in shambles. They don't have any sort of continuity with the staff. You mentioned the roster is essentially going to be gone next year. So what are they? What is their team identity? No idea. But what I do know is it's kind of the start of a new season, and it's their chance as a team at Kansas State to say, you know what, forget everything that just happened. Let's go ruin somebody else's day. Will they rally together tonight and push BYU? Maybe. It's March.
No.
Weird things happen in March. You don't think it's going to happen, but for me, while I would love a blowout win and a chance to rest your starters for even a few minutes before you have to take West Virginia in the case that BYU wins, I'm just about getting through the bracket, brother. Maybe I've got too much PTSD based on how many teams I've already seen go down that were heavy favorites in March. Like, it's already happening. Every day on social media, we see our guy Ryan Hammer and John Rossi and say, it's March. March is undefeated. Does anybody expect anything else besides this? So with upsets now brewing all over the country, man, I just want to see BYU get to Wednesday in West Virginia. Just win the game, please.
If you listen closely tonight, you'll hear Cancun on three from the K-State bench at some point. I think that's going to happen. The Cougars won the first meeting this season, 83-73 in Manhattan. Feels like a million years ago, right, on January 3rd in the Big 12 opener. Aside from no Jerome Tang, no Richie Saunders, what do you expect to be the same or different from the first meeting?
The one thing that I noticed when I looked back at the stat sheet from that first matchup was Kansas State was 3-for-21 from the three-point line.
Right.
I mean, they couldn't make anything in their own gym, and that allowed BYU some breathing room. And the Cougars, I felt, were never really pushed in this game in the second half. I do expect Kansas State to take and make more three-pointers because the scouting report against BYU is, yeah, they give up three-point shots, and the opportunities will be there. So while I don't know who's going to be taking them and how many they'll make, I do expect Kansas State to make more than three. But I expect BYU, coming off of what they did against Texas Tech, to implement some of those same defensive philosophies to try and defend the three-point line better. Interested to see how that goes, because the narrative more often than not in the last month, Jerem, has been, well, BYU, no matter who they're playing against, is giving up open three-point shots, and those teams, more often than not, are making a bunch more than they usually make. How long can Kansas State stay involved? Can they make it weird? We shall see. But I do expect a difference from the Wildcats on the three-point line. Now, for BYU, obviously, with no Richie Saunders, there's going to be a way more heavy dose of A.J. DeBonta and Rob Wright III. Here's the good news for BYU fans. Kansas State does not have a defense that is set up to defend both of those shot makers and those bucket getters, Jerem. Do you see it differently with AJ and Rob leading BYU against a depleted Kansas State defense?
Yeah, and I hope it doesn't have to be just AJ and Rob. I hope Kennard Davis continues to play confident. Defensively, I hope BYU tries at the same level they did on Saturday. They were super engaged, like we talked about. And, you know, if a team wants to jack up a ton of threes against BYU, that's actually been good news for the Cougars. Villanova and Texas Tech both made a bunch of threes, took 35 threes. BYU won both of those games. That is a mild sign of desperation, though, to shoot a lot of threes. Can Kansas State go 12 of 19 in the first half?
No.
They've not been that team. So I just see BYU rolling and then hopefully getting some rest and then preparing for the Mountaineers tomorrow night.
I'll say this as well. Kansas State, since Jerome Tang was fired, they've won more games in six played without him than they did in 12 with him in conference. They're 1-11 in Big 12 play, 2-4 since. They're scoring about four more points per game, but again, the defense is still giving up 83 points per contest, and BYU thrives against defenses that have a lot of holes, and certainly Kansas State has some big voids defensively. So I wouldn't be shocked to see BYU score a ton of points. Can they just limit Kansas State with the effort that you were talking about defensively, especially on the three-point line? Now, with that in mind, Jerem, are you concerned about playing an unranked Big 12 team at all, considering the last three unranked Big 12 teams BYU has played against? They have lost all of those games.
I have said I think BYU likes playing against teams with that little number next to them. There is no number there, although you point out, hey, they have a seed, so there is a number there, and it's 15, and BYU is a 10 seed. No, because those other three teams were different. Those were teams that were either inside of the bubble or just off the bubble in Cincinnati, West Virginia, UCF in. So there was a certain desperation there. K-State's probably done. They've probably been done emotionally for a minute. Sure, it'd be awesome to have this upset, and it'd be the highlight of the year, and I just don't see it happening. I just don't.
Let's go ahead and look at the net rankings of those three teams that BYU lost to, shall we? Cincinnati, 46. They're a top 50 team in net. UCF, 51. Okay? Really, really good. West Virginia, 58. All three of those teams are in the top 60 of the net. And yeah, tournament quality teams or close to tournament quality teams. Kansas State, 99 in net right now. They're 0-13 in quad one games. Jerem, remind me, does BYU qualify as a quad one opponent for Kansas State?
At 24 in a neutral court, that's inside the top 50, so that is an emphatic yes.
Indeed it is. So I am taking some confidence in that fact that BYU, this is not the same level of opponent. Can BYU punch first? I would love that more than anything. Maybe that is something that could happen that's different to set BYU apart from the three previous teams that they have lost to that have been unranked, is you punch first, you start fast, you're on a neutral court. BYU 6-1 on neutral courts this year. I'll send all those good vibes to you and the Cougs in Kansas City to just get out fast and then never look back.
By the way, no one else in college basketball had more neutral site wins than BYU.
How about it?
So that matters, hopefully, right? Okay, yesterday, we buried the lead here. I know it's game day. We talked about K-State. That's what we need to do. But the real story of the day is that A.J. DeBonta was the freshman of the year, but he was not the player of the year in the league, Spence. Was he robbed? Jaden Bradley of Arizona was the player of the year. Was A.J. robbed?
It's all about how you define player of the year within the conference, because clearly the coaches sent a message that it's not just the best player. It is not the best player in the conference, because that is clearly A.J. DeBonta. And if it's not A.J., it's J.T. Toppin. Like, those guys are the two best overall players in the conference and have been the most consistently great all season long, especially in Big 12 play. What it tells me is the coaches are looking at the most important player on the best team. Jaden Bradley is a fantastic player, and he is the engine that makes Arizona go. But is he the best player in the league? Absolutely not. It all depends on the paradigm that you're in and how you're viewing this, because obviously Arizona fans are saying, well, yeah, he's our most important piece, and Arizona's 29-2 and just ran through an incredibly difficult Big 12. If we didn't have Jaden Bradley, that's not happening. So, yeah, absolutely he deserves it. But outside of Arizona and our guy Fran Fraschilla, who said, yeah, Jaden Bradley, coaches know, they're looking at it through a different lens than the majority of the country. The majority of the country saying, who's the best player? And that's A.J. And the majority of the country believes that A.J. was robbed. So, interesting dynamic, but to your question, yeah, I tend to believe that the player of the year should be just the best player in the conference, and that's A.J., but clearly the coaches disagree with me. Do you feel A.J. was robbed? And I know your answer, so explain why it's yes.
Yeah, he got robbed. Now, part of this is BYU finished in a tie for 7th. They didn't finish in 10th. That was a tiebreak thing. They're probably too far down in the standings for some people to be like, well, look over there. And it's not just a points thing, because otherwise PJ Haggerty would be in the mix, but they were terrible. That's a different level. He's leading the country in scoring. He's a freshman. He's the projected number one or number two pick. He's going to be a first team All-American. How is he not the player of the year in the league? I see the argument for Jaden Bradley if you're talking about leadership, but is it called the leader of the year? Jaden Bradley had 0 points in a game on Saturday.
Wild.
You should be disqualified if you don't score in a game. Like, if you're the player of the year in the league, you need to score in every game. I think that should be a minimum criteria. I think Jaden Bradley's a tremendous player. I'm not hating on Jaden Bradley. I think he's awesome. Arizona was great. Regular season champs, they've been awesome. They'll be a one seed. They're fantastic. He was the third leading scorer on his own team. Again, it's not just about scoring, but you kind of need to do that part. So, yeah, I thought A.J. got robbed.
Let's hear from
Brandon Dunson, by the way. I ask him later how the team feels about it. So stay tuned.
All right, good stuff. Let's talk about the other guys that were honored by the conference yesterday. Richie Saunders, nice nod. He's a second team All Big 12 player. And Rob Wright named to the third team. What do you make of those two guys and the respective teams that they ended up with in those postseason honors?
I thought those were perfectly placed. If Richie plays all year, maybe he gets to the first team, but it's loaded this year. Like the freshman class, especially in this league, it's hard to make first team. AJ, of course, on the first team, that's great. I thought Rob on the third team was well done. Rob surprised me by being third in league games. Again, it's league games only for the stats, in scoring in the league. So maybe he could have been second, but I think all three among the top 20 players in this league, that says a lot about those three. And that's where we wanted them preseason, and that was good. You know, would have preferred two on the first team, but ultimately Richie's injury probably cost him first team.
When you have the best big three in the country when healthy on your team, no shock that they all show up on at least one of these teams. Again, nice nod especially to Richie Saunders. Good to see those guys get their flowers, and especially Richie after an unfortunate early end to his season. Our question of the day is this. Do all of you think A.J. DeBonta was robbed not getting Big 12 Player of the Year? Response number one of the day from at Jamin Mason. He says, leads college basketball in scoring while being a freshman. Of course he was robbed. Jerem, do they list the criteria when the coaches are voting? Does it say in there, well, most important player for the best team, great leadership? Like, what's the criteria? No. Because it feels like it changes from year to year. And this year it was, well, we like Arizona. They're the best team, and he's the most important player for Arizona, so let's give it to him.
It's, I mean, they didn't miss by a ton, right? Like, Jaden Bradley is one of those guys that would be top five to me for sure, but it's all good, man. JoJo on Twitter. You could argue AJ along with a few others. Apparently, the coaches left the POY award, vacated, created their own award, the Senior Leadership Award. Again, this isn't hating on Jaden Bradley. He's a really good player. I would argue he's the best leader of any team in the league. But best, like, player of the year feels like most outstanding or best player. And was BYU just too far down in the standings? Like, where's the cut line? If BYU was fifth, would AJ have won it? If they were fourth? Like, what was the criteria there? Because it's not always best player on the best team. That's not how it always works.
Yeah, again, can we just have some consistent criteria? That's what I'm asking for in this award. And guess what? It's never going to happen.
We love getting riled up about something. This gave us something on a Tuesday.
Never going to happen. Time to pick up the tempo as we move into the hurry-up drill and we get into Big 12 tournament pick 'em, Jerem.
Here we go, Baylor versus Arizona State. Who you got?
I'm going with the Baylor Bears. Arizona State, there's too much weirdness around that team right now with Bobby Hurley apparently being dismissed and the team now kind of wondering who their leader is. Like, that's a lot for that team to handle, and I think Scott Drew will have his Baylor Bears re-engaged to win this game. So I'm going with Baylor.
Huafu, Tunde Yesufu for Baylor. I still have ASU, 4-point dog, but they've beaten Kansas and Texas Tech in the last 3 weeks. When ASU wants to show up, Mo Odom and those guys, give me ASU, man.
Okay, post-Hurley push. Jerem likes Arizona State there. Okay, next game, Utah and Cincinnati. Cincy, a heavy favorite.
Yeah, 10.5-point favorite. Give me the Bearcats by a million.
Jerem's still mad about hearing Utah's pep band play as the show is
starting.
Luckily,
they're gone.
Cincinnati's going to win this game. They're playing for their tournament lives. I mean, they probably have to win three games if they want to, like, push the bubble and get into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah,
yeah, Cincinnati's going to play with a lot of ferocity today.
Oklahoma State, Colorado.
I have no idea what to expect in this game. But I do kind of like the way that Tad Boyle's team has been trending late in the season. They have some dynamite freshman players that I think can absolutely score. So I lean Colorado here against Oklahoma State. How do you see it?
Yeah, the freshman Isaiah Johnson, perhaps the most underrated of the freshmen in the league. Colorado won this game by 14 about a month ago. Give me the Buffs in this one.
All right, basketball timeout for some football news. BYU football great, an all-timer, running back, Tyler Allgeier, is moving NFL teams. He signs a two-year, $12.25 million deal with the Arizona Cardinals yesterday. He wasn't the only BYU player to move. Kyrus Tonga signs a 3-year, $21 million deal with the Kansas City Chiefs. Which deal and fit to their team do you like better?
Tyler Allgeier could do something with the Cardinals. I think that's really interesting. How about everybody coming to the NFC West to every team but the Seahawks? Like, why can't my Seahawks get a BYU guy? I'm kind of, you know, butthurt about that. Kyrus Tonga to the Chiefs here in Kansas City. I think that's a cool move. He's going to get a play for Andy Reid. He's going to play for the Chiefs, who also have a slew of draft picks and could be interesting again. Travis Kelce coming back. They just got Kenneth Walker III from my Seahawks. So give me Kyrus and KC as the more interesting fit.
Okay. Kyrus is an immediate plug-and-play factor wherever he goes because he's just such a dominating force on the line. So he'll fit in nicely with Andy Reid's guys. But I am intrigued by Tyler Allgeier's potentially bigger role in Arizona, and how will he work with Kyler Murray? Will that open Tyler up? Will they implement some new run schemes? Does that allow Allgeier?
They're going to let go of Kyler Murray.
Yeah, they probably will. So maybe they lean on the running backs more. So I am intrigued by the Tyler Allgeier signing.
And last but not least, Yegor Demin ruled out for the rest of the year due to plantar fasciitis. How would you grade his rookie season?
Did you just call him Yegor Demin? Yegor Demin? Oh, man, it hurts. It hurts. I hate that he has to sit out, but he had a fantastic rookie season. He was one of the best rookies in the league and earned his way to the All-Star weekend. I mean, honestly, could we have hoped for more? And the one knock against him was he couldn't shoot the three. He proved all the doubters wrong, Jeremy. This is as hard as it is for him to sit out because of injury, he still gets an A from me in his rookie season.
Yeah, A. The only way it would have been A-plus is like 15 a game and 5 assists. But he was awesome, man. Set an NBA record for consecutive threes made in a game by a rookie.
Amazing.
I mean, come on, he set an NBA record.
Incredible. All right, we're going to call timeout for now. 10-seed BYU takes on 15-seed Kansas State in the first round of the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City. Pregame coverage at 6 Eastern on BYU Radio. Game tips at 7 Eastern on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio. After the break, ESPN Sean Farnham joins us to preview the opening of the Big 12 tournament. Which BYU team does he expect to show up against Kansas State? This is BYUSN.
I thought he was tremendous. I thought he was great.
Kennard Davis moving his feet.
Playing well in your tournament, it only helps your situation.
Faith restored in Cougar Hoops.
We are live in Studio B and from Kansas City with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. And why don't we add a third location, shall we? From Las Vegas, Nevada. He is currently calling the West Coast Conference Tournament. He will be in Kansas City doing Big 12 basketball shortly thereafter. Sean Farnham is back on the program. Sean, great to see you again, man. I know we have great memories in Las Vegas, some good games last night. What's this time of year for you like? It's understandably ridiculously busy.
Yeah, you know, it's a very exciting time of year. And, you know, it's not only just the college basketball landscape, but it's also all that NFL news. My San Francisco 49ers got Mike Evans, which was a huge pickup. Meanwhile, like, Kobe Bryant leaves the Seahawks. Kenneth Walker leaves the Seahawks.
I'm assuming
based on that last segment that Jerem is once again going to say that he's butthurt by it, which I found was a very interesting way of describing his feeling about free agency.
I couldn't hear you over the sound of the Super Bowl. I couldn't hear you over the sound of the title. What was that?
Yeah, well, enjoy it because it's done.
Worry about your electrical station first.
No, like, we feel that the electric magnetic field around our stadium actually is going to improve the tendons of our players. We have to do some adjustment this year.
Oh, great stuff. All right, Sean, with that out of the way, the important stuff first. Now we talk a little more about basketball. And, I mean, it's wild what BYU's done here late in the season. Their two wins are both against top 10 teams. Yes, at the Marriott Center, and then you lost to three ranked, unranked teams, one on your home floor and two away from home. So it's been Jekyll and Hyde for the Cougs. So what do you make of this BYU team as they head into the Big 12 tournament?
Well, first and foremost, a significant win last weekend against Texas Tech. You need to continue to prove to the NCAA committee who you are without Richie Saunders. Like, the team that's going to play in the NCAA tournament field, who are they? And you have two great wins now without Richie Saunders. The problem is you have the head-scratching losses that go with it. And so I think it was an appropriate way for the season to come to a close. Obviously, having Richie there, Kennard Davis having a big game, Gabakata, a strong presence underneath, AJ, in, even though I saw your post-game interview, in what is, for all intents and purposes, his last home game. I mean, it's fun to say he might come back, but, like, it's just a perfect way to kind of have this thing come to a close at home in a significant win. Now the question remains is, what do they want to play for now? And they've got an opportunity here where they can win a couple games in the Big 12 tournament and maybe get their seed line back up an additional line. They're going to be an NCAA tournament team. We talked about that last week. But the energy and the emotion of that game over the weekend, I think, is something they've got to try to bottle up and now take with them to Kansas City.
And that's the question is, how did they do that? Because it literally looked like it was just effort. They just tried harder. They were engaged on defense. They hit the glass to the tune of 20 offensive rebounds. They were in the paint a ton. They didn't give up when 12 of 19 from three happened in the first half. Yeah. So what is sustainable, in your opinion, from what they did in Provo? Because this isn't the Marriott Center.
No, but I mean, look, here's the thing. It you have to understand, this time of year is different. If you win, you get to play again. If you lose, like, your season gets derailed. Now, obviously, there's an NCAA tournament still ahead outside of the Big 12 tournament. But you want to try to stack on good days of practice. You want to try to stack good games where you're starting to clearly know how you have to play in order to win games, because you can't turn it on like a light switch in the NCAA tournament. I've been on teams that were uber talented. Like, we talked about Detroit Mercy's playing for a conference championship tonight, and my broadcast partner Dave Fleming gave me PTSD when he talked about it, because Detroit Mercy knocked UCLA out of the NCAA tournament my junior year in the opening round of the NCAA tournament. And that was a team that had the backcourt of Baron Davis and Earl Watson, who spent combined 24 years in the NBA and made hundreds of millions of dollars in the association. So, and part of the reason why I bring that up is because we didn't play well down the stretch that year. And we thought we could just turn it on in the NCAA tournament. We could not. And for BYU, big win against Texas Tech, you've got to validate that win, validate that effort by what you show tonight. And if you come out on the floor with a sense of urgency, and that you're not going to have the same emotion from the building, but you can play with the same sense of urgency. And this time of year, so often it comes down to the teams that are most urgent and most connected. And that's what I'm going to be looking forward to seeing if they're able to bring it tonight.
Sean Farnham is on BYU Sports Nation. You already mentioned you feel like if BYU wins a couple of games, they could improve their seed line. So let's extend that question to how much of a pendulum do you think is there for BYU basketball, depending on what happens in the Big 12 tournament, win or lose, and when that happens?
Like, it depends. I mean, do they make a run all the way to the semifinal? Do they knock off Houston? You know, if that happens, then I think you're talking about potentially moving up two seed lines. If they were, say, to lose tonight against K-State, I think it's probably a one seed line drop. So that's what you're looking at here is can you drop one? Can you improve two? And I don't think that history has told us, too, by the way, that, like, a lot of times in these conference tournaments, we don't see, like, teams that win these conference tournaments get a big boost in their seed line. So I don't think you're going to see something crazy because also there's so many moving parts of what's going on around the country and who else is winning, who's losing. So you see where Joe Lunardi has him as a six seed right now. I think the best you probably see is a five. I think the worst you're probably going to see is a seven. So that's your seed line window that you're looking at. And I think obviously you want to avoid the seven because that means a potential matchup with a two in the second round of the NCAA tournament if you're able to win your first round game.
BYU's been to the Sweet 16 three times. Twice they were a six seed. So that number is actually one that BYU fans like, including last year when BYU was six and went to the Sweet 16. The Big 12 awards came out. Jaden Bradley gets player of the year. AJ gets freshman. No issue with the freshman part. In our super biased opinion, we wanted AJ as the play of the year. What say ye, neutral observer?
I believe that probably what transpired on that vote was that JT Toppin and AJ probably split it so much that Jaden Bradley was able to win the award. I mean, Jaden Bradley wasn't a unanimous selection of first team, yet he's the conference player of the year. That's kind of weird. Because normally when you're the conference player of the year, you're usually unanimously a first team all conference player.
Yeah.
But that was not the case this year. And look, I get it. Their season was unbelievable. He's been the backbone of that team all season long. He's the heart and soul of that team. Defensively, how he impacts the game, how he orchestrates their offense and gets everybody involved. He's a masterful player that deserves a lot of accolades and credit. If you were asking me, I said this a couple of weeks ago, I would have gone with AJ DiBonsa. AJ led the nation in scoring. His efficiency, he put the team on his back in games like he did against Iowa State, in particular when Dave Fleming and I were there. He's had an outstanding year, and I thought he was the best player in the Big 12. If you weren't going to give it to him, I thought it was JT Toppin. He was in the top five. He was in the top 10 nationally in both points and rebounds when he went down with his injury, and he was the only player in the country to have a top 10 ranking in both of those two statistical categories. So I think those two players were the most dominant players, and I think when I look at player of the year, I look at dominant players. Like, again, I'm not taking anything away from Jaden Bradley's year, but I look at the most dominant players, and the most dominant players in the Big 12 this year were either AJ or JT. That's it.
As it stands, AJ is the Big 12 Freshman of the Year, and so as we push forward to tonight's game, Sean, what in the world are AJ and the Cougars going to see on the Kansas State side, and what do you expect from the Wildcats with whatever their team identity is at this point?
They don't really have one right now. I mean, I think that's kind of like the thing, right? With the Jerome Tang being let go. What is this team fighting for? Like, for them to get to the NCAA tournament, they would have to run the table and win the whole thing. That's it. And so you wonder what their urgency is or how connected they're going to be. I think this is a K-State team that can be dangerous, though. PJ Haggerty is clearly a guy that can go in and score a ton of points. But you're going to have to defend the three-point line. I think that BYU's got a really good opponent here to be able to get a win, get a game out on the floor, build rhythm, and move forward. And they should have that mentality. And if they execute the way that I think they should, that will be the case. You can look at probably a 12-point win tonight against Kansas State, and then you're moving forward playing another game tomorrow against West Virginia. And I'll be there in the building for that game. Hoping to see both of you in attendance. But it's be a quick turnaround from tonight's WCC championship game to get to KC. But ready to go. Get some barbecue and some basketball.
Heck yeah, let's go. What does success look like, in your opinion, for BYU in this tournament? Because if they do make a run, like you mentioned, does it help them a ton? Are they getting tired for the NCAA tournament next week? Or is there a certain amount of wins where you go, okay, you've secured a certain seed and you can rest a certain amount of time? Because winning a Big 12 title would be awesome. Let's be honest, winning like 5 games in 5 days is going to be a tall order.
Well, yeah, and you want to be fresh for next week. Right. Like, I mean, the big tournament is the one next week. These conference tournaments are great for a lot of reasons. And we've seen that here in Las Vegas. Like, Santa Clara was a team that was firmly on the bubble, and then they've won 2 games here. And now they look like a lock for the NCAA tournament. The WCC is going to have 3 teams in the field this year. BYU is going to the NCAA tournament. So if the seed line is only going to change one spot, do you really want the grind throughout the next couple of days, going Tuesday all the way through Saturday, to try to win a conference championship? Of course you want to win the conference championship. Of course you want to be able to do all. But if you go through that gauntlet, how comfortable, how rested, how prepared are your guys going to be for the NCAA tournament a week from now? And so I would say this. I think that realistically, this team wins 2 games. I think they get to the quarterfinals against Houston, and I think things probably stop there for them. And I think that's okay. I think that's enough to solidify themselves as a 6th seed, get back home, rest, recover, take a couple days off before the selection show. Once the selection show pops up, having an understanding of where you're going, who you're playing, and then on Monday get back to work and start that preparation for either a Thursday or Friday contest in the NCAA tournament.
All right, Sean, as you look at the entire bracket, obviously huge advantage for those top 4 seeds to get the double bye into Thursday's quarterfinals. Which team do you expect to hoist the trophy in Kansas City and be Big 12 tournament champs?
Arizona. They're playing for a 1 seed overall. They've got something out there still to go for. I think it's probably a lock that they're a 1 seed, but you've got to look around and see what's going to happen around college basketball this week. I mean, obviously Florida jumped up over the top of UConn. If Arizona was to get upset in their first game in Kansas City, does that now open up the door for somebody to slide past them? And I think that's kind of what we're going to be talking about this week. But I think this Arizona team is as complete as a team that we have in college basketball. You look at the way that they played all season long, the consistency in which they played with the veteran leadership that you see, the emergence of those freshmen, Braden Burries and obviously Cole Pete have been outstanding. They've got depth off the bench, guys that were starters a year ago, sacrificing their role for the betterment of the team. And I think they put themselves well positioned here to win this conference tournament. I think they position themselves well to win an NCAA tournament when it all gets going next week.
Sean, I just need BYU to win the game today, and that means I'm on a plane tonight to Kansas City so that I can see you and Jerem tomorrow for some Big 12 eats. So I'm throwing it into the ethos. I'm speaking it into existence. It's going to happen. I will see you tomorrow in Kansas City, and Jerem's going to be there to be our tour guide if we need him to do so.
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad. We've been doing this whole interview this whole time, and we didn't talk about the San Francisco Giants because Dave Fleming is literally sitting like just to my right here. If we take a full screen, can we take Colton? Take a full screen real quick. I'm going to do something here that's going to make everybody mad. All right. There is Dave
Blurs on. What's up, Dave? Hi, Dave. He can't hear us because you have AirPods in.
No, I got my AirPods in, but they all said hi, Dave. This is what we do. We go to Whole Foods, we get our smoothie, we call a game. Let's go. And I'll see you guys in Kansas City tomorrow.
All right, brother.
Well, I got to look as good as, our guy over there all the way on the left-hand side of my screen, the right-hand side of your screens at home. Hey, I've been doing a lot of workouts.
Great, I'm butthurt again.
I got a really tight shirt that I'm going to rock tomorrow.
Let's go.
If you're there, Spencer.
Let's go. Schmedium, in my honor. I love you so much, Sean.
Can we get a picture of you and TJ Otzelberger just side by side to see what it looks like?
We'll try and make that happen, brother. Good stuff, Sean. Hey, have a good call tonight. We'll see you tomorrow, brother.
Hey, I can't wait to see you guys in Kansas City.
Let's go. Sean Farnham off BYU Sports Nation. Live from the Big 12 Tournament in Kansas City tomorrow at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio as BYU SN's coverage
continues. With you, Spencer. You'll be here.
I'll be there. When BYU wins, I will be there, and coverage will continue throughout the week. Still on the way. If you missed it earlier, two Cougs in the NFL signed new contracts with new teams, plus Yegor Dioman taking a lengthy seat on the NBA bench. Why and how that impacts his rookie campaign. This is BYU SN.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. The show rolls on. I am Spencer Linton. Jerem Jordan is in Kansas City. Let's roll out today's headline, sponsored by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
10-seed BYU takes on 15-seed Kansas State in the first round of the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City later today. BYU won the previous meeting this season, 83-73 in Little Manhattan, January 3rd. Pregame coverage begins at 6 Eastern on BYU Radio. Game tips at 7 Eastern on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio. If the Cougars win, Spencer Linton gets on an airplane. And then they play the 7-seed West Virginia tomorrow night.
When BYU wins, the Big 12 Conference Awards released yesterday. Three players for the Cougars recognized. A.J. DeBonta named the conference Freshman of the Year. Unanimous first-team selection as well. Surprisingly, DeBonta not named Big 12 Player of the Year. That goes to Arizona's Jaden Bradley. Richie Saunders named the All-Big 12 second team in spite of missing the final six games of the season due to his ACL injury. And Rob Wright III, a third-team All-Big 12 selection. Congratulations to all.
Yegor Dioman, not Devin, out for the remainder of the season due to plantar fasciitis in his left foot. He ends his rookie season averaging 10.3 points per game, 3.3 assists, 3.2 rebounds, while shooting nearly 39% from three.
Cougars in the NFL have some free agency news. Running back Tyler Allgeier signs a two-year, $12.25 million contract with the Arizona Cardinals yesterday. Allgeier rushed for 2,876 yards and 18 touchdowns over four seasons with the Atlanta Falcons. Defensive tackle Kyrus Tonga signs a three-year, $21 million contract, $14 million guaranteed. You go, Kyrus. He's with the Kansas City Chiefs now. Tonga had 24 tackles in 14 games for the New England Patriots last season after previous stops with the Bears, Vikings, and Cardinals.
Men's golf finished the first two rounds of play at the RE Lampkin Invitational in San Diego yesterday, tied for fifth at 7-under par. Kihei Akina leading the way for the Cougars, 6-under par, good for third right now. BYU tees off in the final round this morning.
BYU baseball trying to snap a four-game skid against Utah Tech today at Miller Park. Coverage at 5 Eastern on ESPN+. You can listen to that game on BYU Radio as well.
Listen to Spencer Linton call BYU softball as they host Abilene Christian in a rematch of the men's basketball game where A.J. DeBonsa threw down super hard in their home opener as the Cougars look to snap a three-game losing streak. Coverage begins at 6 Eastern on ESPN+.
And BYU men's volleyball drops one spot to number 7 in this week's AVCA poll after road sweeps over UC Merced and Jessup. BYU travels to play at number 18 Stanford this weekend. After the break, Jerem's one-on-one conversation from Kansas City with BYU basketball assistant coach Brandon Dunson to preview tonight's game with Kansas State. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
BYU 6-1 in neutral site games this season. Two wins in Kansas City. It'll be a slugfest if BYU can get through Kansas State and they get to that game with West Virginia.
DJ elevates, score! And foul! Chance for a three-point play!
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live from Kansas City and T-Mobile Center here at the Big 12 Basketball Tournament. Earlier this morning, I spoke with assistant coach Brandon Dunson at the team hotel where the Cougars were gathered, getting ready for K-State. Talked to him about A.J. DeBonsa not getting into the Player of the Year and NCAA tournament seating and the focus.
All right, game day. What's the aura? What's the vibe of the team right now?
I think everybody's in a good spot. So, I mean, we obviously played well last game, and I think those vibes are still going. So guys are hungry, and so we'll see where it takes us.
Is there a benefit to a quick turnaround off a big win like that?
Yeah, well, last time there wasn't, but I'm hopeful that it is this time. So I think the guys have learned from it, and they're in a really good space. So I think for us there will be.
I've said on the show, hey, I think BYU likes when there's a little number next to the team, like gets up for that team. Obviously, the previous three losses there to unranked teams, not the performances you guys wanted. Why will this one be different?
I think we were still trying to find ourselves. The coach said it a couple days ago. We've had three iterations of this team, and we've been trying to, as soon as we figure, like we find one out and figure it out, then something else happens. So I think that this team has kind of found an identity. We've really simplified things and really just focus on effort. And like, if something doesn't work, we're not changing the scheme. We're just doing it harder, and we're doing it harder. We're talking louder. So I think that you'll see those dividends pay off.
It seems too simple, but it just seemed like the guys tried harder Saturday. How do you get the guys to try that hard every game?
I mean, again, simplicity, I think it is. Like, they're not sitting here confused about schemes or what are we trying to do this time after this timeout. The adjustment is play harder.
K-State was January 3rd. Is that film still relevant? A lot has changed since then. How much do you use of it?
Yeah, I mean, to an extent. I mean, they're still really good in transition. They're actually better in transition now than they were. I think after misses, they're the fastest team in all of Power 5 basketball. So we've got to make sure we're locked in there. Some of their players' roles has changed. Bashir has been out. Not sure if he'll be in or out this game, but that's allowed other people to step up and change their roles. So, yeah, some of it's relevant, but, I mean, as you know, you cut the season in thirds. I mean, we're at the last third of the season, and so a lot of teams evolve at that point.
With the team that likes to go like that, and I think they're 7th in KenPom, and like I said, fastest in Power 5, does that affect how hard you hit the glass? Because the 20 offensive rebounds Saturday were a big deal.
Yeah, no, like a lot of it for us is just making it more about us. So it's less opponent-centric, and that's something we always want to be good at. It's something that we've been able to move the needle with throughout the year, so you'll see us continue to do that.
P.J. Haggerty, one of the best scorers in the league. How do you slow him down?
Team defense. I mean, you got to, especially in transition, you got to build a wall against them, make sure you're there. You got to be aggressive on them in ball screen coverages and keep them out of the paint. He's really good at getting in there. Obviously, he scored at a high level his entire career, so it'll definitely be a challenge, but I think our guys are up for it.
If you somehow got a few minutes of eligibility, how many could you give today?
I don't know. I wasn't much of an offensive player. I was more defensive, so I'm not going to say too much.
So 3 minutes. Sweet. Yeah. A.J. DeBonsa, freshman of the year. What's the reaction from the team of him getting that award?
No, super happy for him. He puts the work in, and we talk about every time we have an individual award, it's a team award. It's like the people around him help put him in that position. And the guy, he goes about everything the right way, so just super happy for him.
Were you guys like us? You thought he might be player of the year?
Yeah, I mean, granted, talent-wise, he's there. We didn't win enough for it, and kudos to Jaden Bradley. I mean, most important player on the team that finished the best in the league, so that was great. So hopefully it serves a little bit of motivation for us to come out and prove that we can compete with the best.
Ace told Spencer and I, okay, work harder. That's Ace, right? Richie and Rob get second and third team. What did that mean, too?
It was great for him, and especially to see it shows you how important a guy like Richie is, who he misses a good amount of the end of the season, and people still see him in that regard, and he is that important of a player. And I can't stress how important he is to our team. Having him on the bench last game, I mean, it was vital. And every time out, he was the first guy down there talking to the team. So he's going to play a big part in the success of the team moving forward, even though he's not on the court. And Rob's obviously stepped his game up, especially since Richie's been out and one of the top scorers in the Big 12 and one of the top assist guys. And last game, you saw defensively, he was on par. So looking just to continue to have more of that from him.
Coach Richie's 2-0, just saying. Two top 10 wins, right?
Yeah, no doubt. Take it any day.
How does the focus of each game in this tournament, how is that affected by the opportunity to perhaps be as high as perhaps a 6 seed in the NCAA tournament if you guys fare well here?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like always with our team, we just take it game by game, day by day. So the big picture, all that stuff's great, but we're just trying to get better every day.
What's the goal for this tournament?
To get better every game and just – Take every game on as it comes. So,
if they gave you the iPad to change up the court or whatever, what do you want to see out there?
I don't know.
Your favorite TV show, maybe? Just yeah, big? BYU Sports Nation?
That would be great. Let's get BYU Sports Nation on that as we're playing.
Best of luck today, and thanks for the time, Brandon.
No, thank you. Appreciate it.
A not-so-subtle plug for the show. BYU Sports Nation, speaking of, will be live from BYU Football's Pro Day on Friday, March 20th, a two-hour special with immediate reaction to the performances on the field. And we'll be recapping BYU basketball's opening round NCAA tournament game. Huge show, noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio, March 20th. After the break, do you believe AJ DiBonsa was robbed not receiving Big 12 Player of the Year honors? More responses to our question of the day after this on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory.
Welcome back with our question of the day, which is, do you believe AJ DiBonsa was robbed not receiving Big 12 Player of the Year? Jerem, start us off.
Cougar Stats, friend of the program. How many players of the year have you seen come from 10th place teams, whether the title says it or not? It's partially a team award as well. I can see that argument. I would just argue they didn't finish in 10th. They were tied for 7th. But, yes, it is down in the standings. He'll be a first-team All-American. So how do you justify that versus not the Big 12 Player of the Year? Just saying.
Bigger awards await AJ, no doubt about it. At DStot50.
Yes, he's like a top 5 National Player of the Year candidate.
Exactly. DStot50 says, yes, he's the best player in the league by a mile. He brought the most eyeballs to the league. Huge mistake by the Big 12. But again, clearly, this is not just the best player in the
league. I don't think it's by a mile, by the way. I think he is, but it wasn't by a mile. There's a lot of good talent in this league.
All right. Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory, from at Weirdly Nice Y Fan, who says, by the definition of Big 12 Player of the Year, yes. But by the definition of Big 12 Player of the Year on one of the best teams in the conference, no. Again, to Cougar Stats' point, team award definitely does factor into this. Today's Rise and Shout Out, presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
So Dawson Baker gave Richie Saunders the notes written by The Rock. This is nice because Richie gave Dawson the previous iteration of this. So now Dawson returned the favor, which is super cool. As mentioned yesterday, Richie Saunders is here with the team. He will be here. BYU's 2-0 against top 10 teams. And everybody, when he's on the bench, he's had an influence.
Coach Richie ready to do his thing as the Cougs take on Kansas State tonight. Our thanks to today's guests, ESPN's Sean Farnham and BYU basketball assistant coach Brandon Dunson. Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All shows on demand at BYUSN.com. For Jerem Jordan in Kansas City, I am Spencer Linton. Shout out to Ricky Bauer. We'll see you tonight for baseball, softball, and yeah, some BYU men's basketball. Go Cougs.